Hello, this is Ahuka, and welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. And what I want to do this time is I want to talk about my experience of Indiana Linux Fest 2012, which I had the wonderful opportunity of participating in last weekend for me as I record this. It was the weekend of the 13th, 14th, and 15th. In Indianapolis, Indiana. And this was the second time that they've had this event. They premiered it in 2011. And so we started off with a joke from Lord Drakenblut, who was, you may remember that Ken Fallon interviewed Lord Drakenblut about this, about a month or 5 weeks before the event. He was being able to promote and talk about the stuff that they would be doing. So he started off with pointing out that the theme was the Reign of Freedom, and Reign was R-E-I-G-N officially, but as it was also raining outside, which in April is not unusual, he claimed that it was actually a very tricky double entendre that he had worked into that. It was an interesting weekend. I got there Friday, got in late afternoon, and found Lord D and a few other folks, Jason Korfman, and his wife Gail, and some other folks that were down by the registration table. And it just didn't look like there was a whole lot going on. There was, at that point, there was some talk about, well, you know, maybe we'll have a speakers meeting. I don't think that ever happened. What actually happened was I had to drive 5 hours to get there, so I went back to my room and lay down for a little bit, because a short nap was not a bad idea at that point. And then after having dinner, I looked around and, you know, there was supposed to be an opening kickoff party, but what actually happened was everyone went to the bar. Right? That's not a bad thing either. We had a great time there. I was able to catch up with some people, one of whom was my old buddy Vern Cedar, who used to live in Indiana, is now in Chicago, and works for a company called Zorro Tools that was a sponsor of Indiana Linux Fest and is also a Python coder. And I met Vern originally at Ohio Linux Fest, where I'm the publicity director, and got to know him there. And, you know, I still see him at these kinds of events, which is great. I always look forward to seeing Vern. And the other thing that was fun was spending some time with a fellow named Ross Brunson from the Linux Professional Institute. He's the director of member services. Now, Linux Professional Institute was there, of course, because they were going to be giving certification exams, the LPIC exam, I think level one, level two, something. I'm not a system administrator, so I wasn't really the target audience for something like that. But, you know, it was great. You know, Ross had a great fund of stories that regaled us on Friday evening. So that was a lot of fun. And I got to chat with him a little bit then, and then again the next day about how we can work on publicizing what they're doing and what we're doing and things like that. So it was very useful. But that was about it for Friday, actually. It was kind of low-key. And then Saturday morning, everything got going with a bang. And we had Amber Grainer as the opening keynote speaker, and I think a lot of people know Amber in the community. Her husband Pete is a kernel hacker with Canonical, and Amber was very active with that at one point on the Ubuntu women and things like that. But she is now the engineering community resources community specialist. All right, that's a long title, but I think basically what she does is she does community. She does this for a group called Linaro, L-I-N-A-R-O. And I found it very interesting because I was I follow Amber on Google Plus and on Twitter. So I was seeing all of these posts that she was making about Linaro, and it was, oh, what's Linaro? I don't quite get what was going on. And in my mind, she was, part of the Ubuntu group. And Linaro is actually something a little bit different. It was a very interesting presentation. Linaro is a group that is working on bringing Linux to the ARM processors so that we can run a free and open software on ARM. And when you say ARM, then you have to start thinking things like phones, tablets, stuff like that, which is really the big area for most of us where we would encounter ARM processors. Although it's also the case that some of these, BeagleBoard, Raspberry Pi, things like that, I think most of those are also using ARM processors as well. And so she's the community leader for that. So kind of like Jono Bacon does for Canonical, I guess Amber does for Linaro. And it was great learning more about that. It looks like a very exciting project. It's got a lot of heavy hitters backing it. Companies like IBM, Samsung, Canonical is a backer. Texas Instruments. So I think a lot of what she was doing was just kind of spreading the word about what Linaro is doing, and also saying, hey, if you want to get involved, we would love to have you. And that's what a good community manager does, is try and get more people involved in the community, right? So Amber's very good at what she does. And afterwards, after her talk was done, I had a chance to chat with her at some length and just sort of catch up on various things. And it was interesting. If you're at all in the Ubuntu community or tied into any of this kind of stuff, you may know that last year her house burned down. And fortunately, no one was in the house when it caught fire, so no lives were lost. And so I was kind of asking her, I said, well, how's that working out for you? You're obviously, you have useful work to do, but how are you going with rebuilding your life? And what she had to say, which I thought made a lot of sense, is, the material things just don't mean as much anymore. And I guess that's what happens when you lose a bunch of stuff and you say, okay, do I really need to replace it? And apparently not. So that was very interesting. When you go to something like a Linux Fest, a Linux conference, there's always two different things going on. There's the actual scheduled talks, and then what we call the hallway track. And I tried to do a little bit of both. And so I mentioned I had a long chat with Amber, because I haven't seen her since, oh, I think Ohio Linux Fest of 2010, where she was a speaker. And it was not so, I haven't really had a chance to talk with her since then. And so it was great to catch up, and I'm excited to see what is going to happen. Another part of the hallway track, so to speak, was I got a chance to talk with a fellow named Brian Unashko, who is himself legally blind and also very active in the OpenSUSE community. And so he was there promoting OpenSUSE, which he does rather a lot of, I gather. In fact, I have to, if he's listening to this, I'm going to apologize. He was going to give me a box of stuff to take to PenguinCon, and we just never connected again. It wasn't deliberate. Brian, if you're hearing this, I'm real sorry. I wasn't trying to blow you off. It just, somehow that at the end of the day, I went to get dinner, and then all of a sudden, I didn't know where anyone was anymore. But it was interesting talking to him. And as I mentioned, Ross Brunson from Linux Professional Institute, I got to talk with him a little bit more as well. And then, there were some talks. One of them was Klaatu, who, not surprisingly, had an interesting talk. Klaatu was talking about something that is a XML document I think it's called OpenDoc. And what that does is it lets you create books or documents or what have you with an XML specification, and then you can turn it into, for instance, an EPUB or a PDF or whatever you wanted to do with it. And it he gave a very interesting demonstration. It all involved Emacs. Next time I see him, maybe I'll think to ask him whether it's because all of the software he used only works with Emacs, or if I don't know. I know a lot of people like to use VI or Vim, and I would imagine there's probably similar stuff there. But Klaatu was obviously very comfortable with that. It was a great talk. I was very interested for a number of reasons. One of which is I really love ebooks. And in fact, I may record something for Hacker Public Radio on that one of these days. It's on my list of things to talk about at some point. And Klaatu, if you're listening to this, and there's an excellent chance that you are, and you happen to notice that I got up and left before your talk was done, it wasn't you. The fact of the matter was I was freezing my butt off. I got to remember to bring a sweatshirt whenever I go to one of these conferences. Because that hotel, they just wanted to keep things at a freezing level. And I was just wearing a t-shirt, and it got to be too much. I had to go back to my room and get a coat. And by the time I got back, the talk was just about done. But I did hear a lot of it. And the rest of you, make a note. Always have a sweatshirt or a sweater handy when you go to these things. Or, for our friends in the UK, a jumper. So that was Klaatu's talk. There was another talk that I found fascinating, in part because it was a speaker I had never encountered before, who I definitely want to hear more from, and that was a lady named Jessica McKellar. And Jessica was there, I think, in part because she's part of the Boston Python group. And there was an interesting Python event going on. It was called Python for Women and Their Friends. And so the idea was that if you wanted to get into this session, and it was Friday evening and all day Saturday, so it was a good long workshop on Python. If you wanted to get into this, you either had to be a woman or you had to be accompanied by a woman. And I thought that was kind of interesting, and, you know, why the heck not? I think Jessica was there as part of that. Catherine Devlin, who I see at all of these events, was there as part of that as well, and she's with the Ohio Python group. So Catherine and I have been running into each other at PenguinCon and Ohio Linux Fest and Indiana Linux Fest and what have you for a number of years now. So they were putting all of this on, and you know, Jessica, I think someone had the bright idea. Maybe it was her idea, I don't know. But somehow they got her into doing a talk aside from the Python thing. And her talk was titled something like, It Shouldn't Work. And it was an investigation of how the internet actually functions. And I'd have to say, there probably wasn't a lot of information in what she said that I didn't know already. But the thing that impressed me was she's damn smart. I mean, she really knows her stuff. She's a kernel hacker, a Python coder, you know. So it's obvious she knows her stuff. She is an uber geek. And the other thing is she's just a great speaker, you know, well-organized, energetic. It was real pleasure listening to her. So, you know, when I got back here, I sent an email to my friends in the Ohio Linux Fest group saying, let's figure out how we can get her to Ohio Linux Fest, because she's a great speaker. So, you know, if you are in the Boston area, look her up at the Python group, or, you know, I'm sure she must, she does such a good job speaking, I have to think she's done this other times, and that'd be worth looking up. Now, one of the interesting things was that the advertised closing speaker was Ian Murdoch, and for whatever reason, Ian Murdoch did not make it. And actually, I think I know that there was some sort of breakdown in communication because we had an after party, and there were a couple of guys there with a helicopter, I guess you would call it. It had like four rotors arranged like a clover leaf, and you would control it from an Android or Android phone or tablet or an iOS phone or tablet. I think you could control it either way. And we're having a lot of fun with all the stuff you could do with that, flipping it and sending it around. But one of the guys, I said something about, gee, what happened to Ian Murdoch? Turns out this was someone who knows Ian as a friend, and said, yeah, I got a text from him saying, let's get together for a drink after my talk tomorrow. Well, this was at the closing party, so I don't know where that particular breakdown in communication happened. It was too bad. I would have liked to have seen Ian. But the interesting thing about the community is that someone stepped up and said, well, I'll do a talk, and I'm real sorry I didn't catch her name. But a lady with looks like she had about a 9 or a 10-year-old boy running around there as well. Gave a talk about the hacker ethic in the hacker community, and she was obviously winging it, but give her full marks for just stepping up on the spur of the moment to do a talk and fill what would otherwise have been some dead space. I mentioned the after party, pretty low key this year. Last year they had dual core, and there's a lot of music and all of that. And what I heard is that Dual Core has relocated out to the west coast of the United States. So it's a little more difficult for them to get to places like Indiana or Ohio, I'm guessing. It's probably going to affect Ohio Linux Fest as well. So it was kind of low key, but that's okay. So overall impressions. The first thing I would say is that the most important thing is that they had a year two. It's very easy to, well, very easy for me to say, right? It's somewhat easier in some ways to do the first event. Yeah, you find some people, we need to do something. We need to put on something here. And people jump in, and there's lots of energy, and you get it done. And then coming back for the second year, I think that's where you weed out a certain number of groups and events that just don't have the staying power. And what impressed me was that Lord Drakenblut and Mark and Michael Schulteis, there were people there that I remember from last year that are still involved, so they kept a lot of their core group. And then I think Jason Korfman may have been a new addition. I don't remember him from last year. So that's a good thing, if they've got all the people, and they've now done it a couple of years in a row and are starting to get a sense of what the rhythm and cycle of this thing is like. So I'm hopeful that that means we're going to have an ongoing event. And if that's the case, I certainly want to be a part of it. I mean, I gave a talk there as well, and it seemed to be well received. I was happy. I've spoken there the last couple of years, so I really am very hopeful that that they will keep going. And certainly Lord Drakenblut seemed to be full of enthusiasm about all of that. We had a little exchange on Google Plus, and he said, oh yeah, you just stay tuned. We got all sorts of things we're thinking about for next year, and there'll be more to announce, and we have something to announce. So that's just one person's impression of Indiana Linux Fest. And if you're in the central part of the United States, it was a good time. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. I think it's always great when people who are into free software have a chance to get together, talk about Linux and open source software and Python and all the different things that we had a chance to talk about. So it's definitely on my calendar as something I want to do every year. And if you're in this area, I hope you'll want to be a part of it as well. So that being said, in my official capacity as the Director of Publicity for Ohio Linux Fest, I want to mention yet again, we are looking for talks. Our call for talks is open. We want to hear from everyone, okay? We want to hear from men and women. We want to hear about Linux. We want to hear about other free software. We want to hear about BSD. We want to hear about open hardware. So I know that that's a growing thing, and with things like BeagleBoard, Raspberry Pi, Arduino, stuff like that, there's a lot of interest out there. We also are looking for talks at all different levels. So we try and schedule a certain number of talks that are beginner level, a certain number intermediate, and a certain number of advanced. So whatever, if you're listening to this thinking, oh, I'm not smart enough to be talking to those Linux sysadmins, well then, come up with something at a beginner level. We have room for everything. On the other hand, if you really are an expert and you've got something that you think other experts would be interested in hearing, then we can do something at the advanced level. We want all of these things. So please, go to www.ohiolinux.org. I'll put the full URL for the call for talks into the show notes. But we would love to hear from you. And with that, I am signing off. This is Ahuka for Hacker Public Radio. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.